The Bible's real. The Lord said unto Moses, bring me 70 of the leaders of Israel. That's not what I'm asking for, God. Let's have a committee meeting. That's great. The Lord wants to have a committee meeting. He said, bring me the 70 leaders, elders of Israel, who are known to you as leaders and officials amongst the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that's the tabernacle, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. And I will take some of the power of the Holy Spirit, some of the power of the Spirit of God that is on you, and I will put it on them, and they will share the burden of the people with you, so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat meat. You will not eat it just for one day. You will not eat it for 2 days. You will not eat it for 5 days, 10 or 20 days, but for a whole month. You will eat meat until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it. This is Almighty God talking here. Because you have rejected the Lord who was among you and have wailed before Him saying, why did we ever have to leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am among 600,000. He still doesn't get it. Here I am among 600,000 men on foot and you say I will give them meat for a whole month? Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish of the sea were caught for them? And the Lord answered Moses and said this, listen, people, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not I will come true for you. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said and brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand outside in the tent. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto them, and He took some of the power of the Spirit that was on Him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do it so again. Not that is to say after this, not another day. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, remained in the camp. They were listed amongst the elders, but they did not go to the tent. Probably had an issue with Moses. Didn't like being told what to do. There were some complainers in the camp, and here's two that didn't bother to show up. Yet the Spirit of God came upon them, and they began to prophesy in the midst of the camp. And the young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide by his side since his youth, spake up and said, Moses, Lord, stop them. Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would pour out His Spirit upon all of them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Friends, this is the Old Testament, believe it or not. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove the quail in from the sea, and it scattered them up into cubits deep all around about the camp as far as a day's walk in any direction. All that day and all that night and all the next day the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. That's between 5 and 6 bushels. Bushel baskets of quail. And they spread them out all over the camp, and while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord fell upon the people, and He struck them down with a plague, with a disease. Therefore the place was named Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had craved other food. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for this story, which is so true. And grant us wisdom, Lord, as we preach Thy word, O God. For Your arm is not too short. It can reach. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think any of us would doubt the fact that the Lord's arm is able to reach, to supply the need. He can reach beyond your physical need. He takes care of His people. He provides. I mean, anyone that, around this area, I mean, God knows. Monica, hallelujah. Say glory. You know, she knows how God can provide. I mean, we've got in Winchester there on the main street, we have two holes sitting there, you know, where there were two houses that God gave us, those two houses. And His arm is not too short that He couldn't reach to Halifax, to the headquarters of Sobeys Corporation, to be able to give us these two houses. So we know the Lord's arm can reach. Amen? And that one house is sitting on Monica's front lawn, and another one is sitting somewhere else. Thank the Lord. God provides. There have been meals provided here at the church yesterday. Amen. There was leftovers. Glory to God. Amen. There was a funeral service for a huge crowd, and there was leftovers after that. Praise God. So, you know, God is supplying. God is taking care. We may wonder, how are we going to take care of all these people? How are we going to meet the need? How are we going to take care of things? How is it going to happen? Lord, here, here he even complains. He says, listen, Lord, he reminds the Lord of how many people God has to supply for. And of course, he sees it as himself. He says, I have 600,000 men on foot, and you're telling me that I'm going to have to feed them meat for a whole month? He says, if I slaughtered every cattle, if I slaughtered all the sheep and goats, if I killed everything that there was in our provision, I wouldn't be able to feed these 600,000 men. And when you think of 600,000 men, you've got to double that again for at least for ladies. All right, so we're at 1,200,000, and then you got to, there's got to be a few kids lying around that are under 20 years old, and so that, well, 1.5 million, and you know, it gets into a number, an astronomical number of how you take care of them. But God had been taking care of them. In fact, it would estimate that to feed conservatively 1.5 million, because you have Bible scholars that say 2, you have Bible scholars that say 2.5. So I tend to try to fall on the conservative line of things and say, if you had to feed 1.5 million people, you would require a train of boxcars 2 miles long full of manna, 50-foot cars, to feed 1.5 million people. You'd need a train load 2 miles long every day to show up. And God was doing it. And He was pouring out the manna for them. And so how, He says, how am I going to feed this many people? And some, of course, you get different Bible teachers that are more on the liberal end of things. And, oh, well, there couldn't have been 600,000 people. You know, maybe that's just a spiritual number. Friends, in Numbers chapter 1, it says that they took a census. Y'all understand what census is? Because you all had to mail one. You all mailed it, right? Because you're going to jail if you don't, right? Anyways, I think the, you know, so, you know, we all mailed our census in, so we know exactly what a census is. In Numbers chapter 1, it says that they took a census, and the census was 603,500 men over the age of 20. So when Moses here says 600,000, yes, he is rounding it off by 3,500. So we know that it is an accurate number that he is referring to. But in all of that, God's response is, in verse 23, is the arm of the Lord too short? You've never said that yourself, but you thought it. God, this is too big for you. Because when really you say it's too big for him, what you're really meaning is it's too big for you. And you'd be right, because it is too big for you. But it's not too big for him. The people were complaining because they had no meat to eat. They were not satisfied with the train load of manna that showed up every single day for them. So God says, I am going to give you meat. Enough quail meat. You know, I have never went out and bought quail. It's pretty expensive, I hear. But anyways, imagine, of course, it's bird season. Some of you like that idea of going out getting turkeys. I am going back home. I saw a picture of my cousin that I'm doing dedicating his baby this afternoon. Him with a big turkey there spread out. I presume that's what we're going to eat when I get there. Anyways, went and shot it the other day. So, so here is, that's turkey meat. I don't know, quail is smaller, I would think, and whatnot, but to come up with 5 bushels for everybody that went out hunting it. Friends, you know they're in the wilderness, right? You know there's no refrigeration in the wilderness. They're having meat poured on their heads. So much so that they have to wade through the birds. They're knee highs. They're coming in with the bushels. They're getting them. They're scooping them in. They got meat. They got meat. They got meat. It's coming out. You ever went to the Chinese buffet and I have this thing, all you can eat. It's not. It's a suggestion, or is it a challenge? And then you go and you get your favorite thing or whatever it is out of that dish, and you just get in there and you just get in there real good, and go back several times. And then sometime later you say, I'm never going to do that again. And then it fades, and then a few weeks or months later. I have the same problem with Kentucky Fried Chicken. We're talking about quail. This is not in my notes. I'm going off base here. But, I find this problem with Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm driving down the Bank Street there, and it's, picked up Josiah or whatever from going home, and, you get a whiff just right there of that grease. And you haven't had it for months. And all of a sudden you think, I want to get a feed. Well, this is what my father always said, I'm going to get a feed. I'm going to get a feed of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you go and get it, and you know that 2 or 3 months ago you vowed you'd never have that stuff again. So you go get a big bucket of it, take a loan out in your car and get the bucket of meat and bring it home there, and you eat chicken. And then later I feel a slick of grease just floating back and forth in my stomach. And you go, why did I do that? I'm never going to do that again. Anyways, back to the sermon. It says this, that while the meat was still in their teeth, the Lord struck them with some kind of plague. They say that in this particular, of course, don't forget, it is a very arid place. It is a dry place. It is a hot place. And you all heard of salmonella. Well, they have things that are so much worse than salmonella over there in the Middle East. And quail in particular pick at the dirt, and in their gullet they will put little bits of stuff, little metallic things, little whatever else. And anyways, there is, and this may or may not be how God did it, but apparently, if you don't cook it right, if you don't cook it quick enough or whatever else, there can toxins come into this meat and deadly poison. And so whatever it was, they asked for meat, they got quail, they got fancy stuff. If you eat it in moderation, if you eat it soon after you kill it, there's not a problem. But if you wait very long, the toxins sink into the meat and it becomes deadly poison. You might say God killed them with kindness. He allowed His provision to become their demise. And friend, I would say this, God has richly blessed this nation of ours, but we can abuse the blessings, and the blessings can kill us. I think of the same thing with parents. Many parents simply give their children whatever it is that they complain about. I want this, I want that, I want that. And so they give them whatever it is that they want, whatever they whine and complain about. And you know what? They kill them with kindness. It was manna was what they needed. Meat is what they wanted. But here the Lord's situation, He said, I can supply it. I can give it. Be careful what you confess. Be careful what comes out of your mouth, because you may just get it. See, you got to be watching what it is that you're asking for, because God is able to provide it. But He is able to provide it. Isaiah 59, I think I have this text up here. Isaiah 59, of course, reiterated again in the prophet. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, nor is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from our God, your God. It's not a God problem. It's not a supply problem. It's a demand problem. the supply and demand. God is able to give. God is able to supply. His arm is not too short. But is your heart right when you ask? Are you asking for the right things? The second part of this message is that He can reach beyond your spiritual expectations. God's arm is not too short to provide for the people of Israel in the natural, but they also needed the supernatural. They needed the physical provision, but they needed the spiritual provision. Moses was getting worn out. His father-in-law, Jethro, had told him, he says, what you need to do is you need to go get a few guys and you need to delegate and you need to get things done right. Well, here is God Almighty kind of saying the same kind of thing. I want you to get 70 guys together. But here's what I'm going to do. I am going to pour out my spirit upon them, but I'm going to take the anointing that I poured out upon you and I'm going to give it some of it to them that they may be spokesmen for the people. Here's what I think is what's happening. Moses picked 70 men of whom he knew were leaders. He had the leadership skill. They had leadership ability. That's the natural. That's God-given talent. That is still in the natural, though. I mean, you have abilities and gifts. You can see somebody. You can see potential in them. Maybe it's because you've been referenced by somebody else, and you can say to them, you know, you've got potential. And so he chose those 70 men that were leaders in Israel, and he brought them together, but God had to do something supernatural. He had to put His Spirit upon them. So He gathered the men at the tabernacle of meeting, the place where God's Spirit came upon. And God took the Spirit that He had put on Moses and put it on the elders. You know what He's saying here? He's saying, I want to give them the same anointing that I gave Moses. Why is that? Well, they began to prophesy. They began to speak forth the word of the Lord. Not a forth-telling, but a foretelling. What is the difference, friends? Forthtelling means they're prophesying and telling about things that are going to happen in the future. That is one kind of prophecy. But there is another kind of personal prophecy where God is just speaking through you. Amen? You're just saying the word of the Lord. You're just prophesying. And so I believe it was that kind of prophesying where they were speaking the word of the Lord and they were just hearing from God, and God was moving through them just like God did Moses, because it was the same kind of anointing that God had given Moses. In fact, it was literally the same. It said He took part of it and He gave it to the 70. And those 70, well, it's actually 68 there and two other fellows we'll talk about. These 70 then had a understanding of the anointing that was upon Moses. It only happened for one day. It didn't happen again. But for that one day and for that one time and for that one season, they had an understanding of the leadership anointing. They knew what it felt like. They knew what it felt like to have the Holy Spirit speak through them. They knew what it felt like for God to communicate through them. And they got an understanding. Oh, this is what Moses experiences all the time. You see, more than they needed a trainload full of provisions every day, they also needed to survive. They needed a leadership and a people that understood the anointing. They needed a people that understood the anointing. See, the people did not understand the anointing. They didn't understand what Moses had experienced. They didn't understand how God spoke through him. They believed it, yeah, okay, when everything was working out good. But when things didn't go just the way they wanted, they began to complain to Moses, and they began to complain about Moses, and they began to have division because they did not understand the anointing that Moses had. So he gathers these 70 men. God says, I'm not going to just give you the Spirit. I'm going to give you Moses' anointing. I'm not replacing Moses. You're not going to keep this. But for that one day, they knew what Moses felt when God spoke through him. For that one day, they sensed it, they understood it. So they then, in turn, when the people said, is he really hearing from God? Then they could say to the people, oh yeah, I experienced it for myself. I know what it's like to have God speak through me, and I had that same anointing that Moses had. You see, that's the significance, I believe, that's going on here. And this is way back in the Old Testament. I mean, it's in the early parts of the Old Testament. How much more today? God wants us to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, Moses said it himself, because guess what? It was a surprise. It was an unusual thing that happened. God had told them to come to the tabernacle of meeting, but there was two fellas, Eldad and Medad. You didn't know me dad was in the Bible, did you? Well, he is. Me dad. Eldad and me dad. I guess Eldad is Spanish, right? Spanish dad? Eldad and me dad, you know, so... So these two fellas, these two dads or whatever, you know, they were probably, I presume this, that they, why wouldn't you show up? I mean, why wouldn't you show up when you're told to show up? Except you were really, you know. And so they didn't show up at the tabernacle of meeting, and they were, but at the same time that the Spirit of God was taken from upon Moses and put upon them, guess what? They're in the street, they're in the midst of the camp, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes on them, and yay, they begin to prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord moves through them. Glory to God. They begin to experience what Moses experienced, even though it wasn't in the normal place. Friends, God is a God of surprises. He may come upon you when you're in church. He may come upon you when you're in the tabernacle of meeting. He may come upon you when God has called us together to assemble together in the presence of these witnesses to join this man and this woman. Anyways, I'm in that mode these days. So he may come upon you like that, but guess what? He may come upon you in the shower. Hallelujah. Maybe he has. Someone just did. He may come upon you in the street. He may come upon you wherever it is that He wants to do His work and demonstrate Himself and have you experience His power and His presence. Amen. He is going to surprise you if you're open to being surprised by the Holy Ghost of God. So these two fellows, they experience the same thing. And what's the response? The response is a young man sees these guys. He sees them prophesying, speaking forth the word of the Lord. And says, wait a minute, whoa, something's wrong here. This ain't church. This isn't the tabernacle. These guys are off, you know. I know these guys. No, sir. And so he runs to Moses. And when he gets to Moses, Moses' right-hand man, Joshua, who's a good man, amen? Good men can get it wrong. All God's husband said, amen. Good men can get it wrong. Here is Joshua, and he hears this report that these two fellas, and listen, they didn't show up to church on time when we called for the meeting, you know. And Joshua is kind of the guy that keeps things in order. You know, he's a military man. And later on, of course, he took over after Moses, and he brought the people into the promised land, and he waged war upon the nations that were there. And he's an organized fella. And he said, these guys didn't show up to church. When we rang the bell, they didn't show up. And God, and they're prophesying. He said, Moses, tell them to stop. I love Moses' answer, don't you? Don't you just love it? Moses' burden is for the people, not for the program. You hear me? Moses had a burden for the people. He did not have a burden for the program. You need the program, people. You need Joshua there. You need the program for the program to happen. You have to have the program, people. But the leadership burden was not just for how things were done. He just wanted it to get done. So his response, this beautiful response from the Old Testament, which has these New Testament overtones, he said, oh, I would to God that all the people of Israel were prophets and that they would prophesy and that God's Spirit would come upon them. There's the heart of a leader, friends. I don't care if it's done the right way. I don't care if it's done the way that we... our denomination or our catechism or our system or whatever. I don't care. I don't mind being surprised by the Holy Ghost. Do you mind being surprised by the Holy Ghost? Well, this wasn't the way we planned it. Oh, hallelujah! Amen. How often is that the way it is? Praise God. Either it'll frustrate you to leave the ministry or you get in with the program of God, which is a better program than man, and just enjoy the ride, friends. Just enjoy the ride. Yes, Moses said, I would to God that all the people of God were prophets. It's nice to have loyal followers, amen. It's nice to have people stand by your side, because Moses' first response to this was, are you jealous of me? Are you worried about me having an attitude about these guys? Me dad and El dad? Remember, there's a story, and I think I do have the scripture up here. It reminds us of the New Testament situation where John was a good guy. Amen? Loved Jesus. The beloved disciple. The apostle of love. The one that wrote more about love, than anyone else, even with Paul's 1 Corinthians 13. He was the loving that. He loved the Lord. He was at the Last Supper. He was kneeling at the breast of Jesus. He's the guy that loves Jesus. It was loyalty that made him say this thing. He's a good lad. Don't be hard on him. Don't be hard on Joshua just because they're the program dudes. Here's what he said. He said, John answered him saying, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in thy name. And because he does not follow with us, we told him to stop. You can laugh at that, but we do it all the time. Because he was not with us. Not us. He's not my denomination. He doesn't follow with us. He's not one of our people. He's not one of our boys. Amen. And Jesus answered us, don't forbid him. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can easily speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our side. Surprise. John was surprised. Joshua was surprised. But good leadership said, let it happen. How often does God surprise? Some people are going to experience many surprises when we get to heaven. We're in the resurrection. Be surprised who managed to get there. Surprised that who didn't get there. Here's a little poem that, of course, isn't theologically so good, but it's interesting. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights of its decor. For it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid from the 7th grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who had never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus and said, what's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet and somber? Lord, please give me a clue. He said, because they're all in shock, because they never thought they'd be seeing you. Surprise! Some people just don't like being surprised. My wife doesn't like any surprises. But movies, anything like that. How does he live? Is he going to be okay? Does he marry her? Just wait and find out. If I've seen it already before, she can't stand it. Don't surprise me. Some people just, I don't want any surprises. I want to know what's going to happen next. But friends, God is a God of the supply, but He's also the God of the surprise. And we have to be ready for Him. I was reading this week of an evangelist whose name is Surprise. Surprise Sitholes. Don't say that too fast. But apparently it's African. Anyways, surprise! Anyways, so surprise, I'm just going to call him Surprise in case I slur something and it doesn't come through the just right. So anyways, this guy, his name is Surprise, and in his village in Mozambique, when he was born, he came out and he had a patch of gray hair. And when the midwife was getting hold of him out of his mama, she was surprised! She thought, I've given birth to an old man. And so in their culture, whatever the first thing they say is what you get called. So anyways, she said, surprise. And so, okay, well, we'll call them surprise. Imagine coming home, your parents coming home every day and opening the door and coming in and say, surprise! I mean, you're at school, the teacher reads out, surprise! You know, just all the time, it just kind of takes the edge away from it, doesn't it? It kind of gets kind of boring after a while. But, you know, I mean, calling you for supper, surprise! Surprise! I mean, you know, just, that's his name. Surprise! God called him into ministry, but it was a surprise to him. When he was 15 years old. Don't forget, I want to mention this part that both his parents were involved in witchcraft. His father was the local witch doctor. He had never heard the name of Jesus in his Mozambican village. And then one night, he had prayed to the God of whoever. And the God of whoever heard him. And when he was 15, they didn't have beds. They would lay down on the floor, and there was mats on the floor. And in the middle of the night, his mat woke him up. And we know the story, of course, in the Old Testament of Samuel. But he was awakened, and a voice said to him, he says, flee, or you will die with the rest of them. Flee, or you'll die with the rest of them. It came so clear, it came so strong to him that he got up, he left his mat, he left his family, he was so scared, he left his village, and he took off into the jungle, and he did not stop until he came to civilization, which happened to be in the next country of Malawi. And he was worn out and he was tired, and he sat down by a tree, a great big tree, and a man came along. And the man came along and said, this man came along who had been wakened up in the night, and the voice of the Lord, this man was a believer and a man was a preacher, and the voice of the Lord said to him, I want you to go down this road, and under a tree you're going to find a young man. And I've called this young man into ministry. Surprise! And so the man was woken up by this dream, and he walked down the road, and he came to this place just as this young man had come out of the jungle and had sat under this tree to rest. He comes up to him, and he says to him in a language that this young man did not know because he was from another tribe, but God gave him the understanding. In fact, this evangelist knows 14 languages. Several of them were divinely downloaded. You think the internet downloads, God downloads. He has went and preached in 14 different languages. And God used this man and said to him, he says, God is saying you're called into ministry. And he said, well, who? Which God? You know, what's the story? And he says, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our God. He is, and he shared the gospel of he is the one that died for us. And this young man, surprise, he embraced the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God came upon him. Under the tree, and not only was he saved, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he went down to the river and was baptized. He received all these things. No seminary, he never went to Bible college. All of a sudden, when he read the scriptures, he found out that he had a photographical memory for the scriptures only. And the scriptures would come into him and they would become alive. And he went out, he almost immediately at 16 years old, just a few months later, and began to preach the gospel. And people began to get saved and healed. And wow, that's not how it's supposed to be done. He found out later that his village, that arrival village, had prepared a feast for them and had the next day after he had left, and they had mixed crocodile bile into the meat and into the meal, and it was very toxic and deadly poison. You don't notice it, you eat it and you die. And they all died. Surprise. God is the God who supplies, and I could go on about how He has supplied. But friends, to me the exciting thing is, He is also the God of surprise. And today I want you, as I put a question on here, are you ready to be surprised? Or are you going to choke on God's supplies? I don't know where that came from. It was late at night when I wrote that. But friends, today, what is it that, where is your need? Not the wants necessarily, but what is the need that you have? God wants to listen. And if you're arguing with Him, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, then say, okay, I can't do it, but God can because His arm is able to reach. In Isaiah, His arm is able to save. Is there people in your life that you thought you'll never see them in the resurrection, you'll never see them in the kingdom coming because no way they're going to make it? God's arm is able to save them. Amen. Would you believe God for them? Father, today, Lord, we ask Your... We thank You, Lord, that You are a God who supplies. And Father, break any hardness in our hearts. Break any hardness in our person, Lord God. If we have anything that is just religious but not open to the Holy Spirit's move, Father God, just break that down. Work away at that, Father God, that we can be surprised by the Spirit. I would that all of God's people were prophets. And I would that all of God's people had the Spirit come upon them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing, shall we? What are we singing?
Come as You Are.
What's that?
Come as You Are.
Come as You Are. You're looking for PowerPoint? But don't go the same. Come as You Are, but leave changed. Amen. If you need prayer today, this morning, as we sing this closing song, I'm just going to give a word of benediction now. Went on a little bit longer, so I'm going to give a word of benediction. If you would like prayer for anything, you're welcome to come to the altar to receive prayer today. Amen. May the Lord God bless you and keep you and cause His glorious face to shine upon you, rising up and giving you heavenly peace. Amen.